Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the all-new Silver Scripture Box with a set of 52 new Bible verse memorization cards based on this series, The Invisible War. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Making the Hard Changes in Me.
Now, in this passage, it talks about the six requirements for personal change. There are six requirements. You got to have all six of these in your life to make these changes. Number one, change requires learning the truth. That's the first requirement. Change requires learning the truth. Now, you know this famous quote of Jesus. Jesus said, when you know the truth will what? Set you free, yeah. And you're not going to be free until you know the truth. Now, Paul starts in this very same thing in verse 21. He says, since you have heard all about Jesus, and you have learned the truth, circle that, the truth that is in him. Now, if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. The secret to personal change is not a pill. It's not a program. It's not a process. It's not therapy. It's not a book, a seminar. It's not positive thinking or psychology or anything else. The proof of personal change is found in the truth. You've got to know and face the truth. You've got to know and face the truth about yourself before you can change. You've got to know and face the truth about your relationships before you can change. You've got to know and face the truth about your past before you can change. You've got to know and face the truth about God before you can change. You've got to know and face the truth about your habits, your hurts, your hang-ups. You've got to know and face the truth about your potential and your talents. You've got to know and face the truth about others, brothers, sisters, parents, everybody, all those kind of things. You've got to know and face the truth about God's purpose for your life. Nothing changes until you start with the bedrock of truth. If you don't know the truth about these things, you are building on a phony, fake, false foundation. And it's going to crumble when you hit the rogue winds of life. Now, why is it so important to learn the truth for anything I want to change in life? I'll tell you why. Because behind every self-defeating behavior in my life is a lie I'm believing. Behind every self-defeating behavior in my life is a lie I'm believing. If you're deeply in debt right now, it's because you believed some lies. You thought, you know, I can just keep charging it forever and I can get away with it. Oh, really? The entire world governments now know that delayed gratification doesn't work. And maybe you thought, I have to have this house. Oh, really? Do you really have to have this? Is it true? Can you prove it's true? How do you know it's true? Every time you get yourself into problem, it's because you have believed some lie. Like, I have to do this in order to get ahead. I have to do this in order to be liked. I have to do this in order to be happy. Oh, really? We lie to ourselves all the time. We have an amazing ability. The biggest liar in your life is you to you. Okay? Because you tell yourself all the time it's no problem when it really is a problem. And you tell yourself it's not a problem. And you tell yourself it is a problem when sometimes it's not. What is it in your life you're pretending isn't a problem? The big elephant in the living room. You got to deal with the truth. I have to know and face the truth, first of all, if I'm going to change. Now, Jesus said the truth will set you free, but first it makes you miserable. And it makes you miserable as long as you deny it. Now, the moment you are honest with the truth about you and everything else in life, then it starts setting you free. Now, who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. Not I have it, not I point the way, not I teach it. He said, I'm it. I am the truth. So you can trust his word. And his word is the Bible. The Bible is good for four things. The Bible tells us what it was given for, why God gave us. Look at this next verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful, and it tells us for four things. Number one, to teach us what is true. You got to build it on truth. Number two, make us realize what's wrong in our lives. Number three, it straightens us out. And number four, it teaches us to do what is right. It's God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. The Bible in that passage says that it was given to us for four things. It's like a path. And it shows us the path to walk on. It shows us when we get off the path. It shows us how to get back on the path. And it shows us how to stay on the path. The theological words for this are doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. It says God's word does four things. It shows you the path to live on. You stay on that path, you're going to have a pretty good life. It shows us when we get off the path, you messed up. That's called reproof. It shows us how to get back on the path. That's called correction. It shows us how to stay on the path. That's called instruction or training in righteousness. So change requires learning the truth. Number two, the next verse tells us the second requirement for personal change, and it's this. Change requires making choices. Change requires making choices. And they've got to be good choices, obviously. But what I'm saying here is that it's not enough just to want to change. It's not enough to just desire to change. It's not even enough to just say, I've got a dream of changing. I've got a dream of being something else. Dreams are worthless unless you wake up and actually act on them. So more than desire, more than dreaming, it takes a decision. You're not going to change until you choose to change. A lot of people think about changing. They plan on changing. They want to change. They say, someday I'll change, or when I get around to it, I'll change. But they don't ever actually choose to change. You see, it's not going to happen without intention. Let me put it this way. How are you going to be different in 6 months? Are you going to be emotionally stronger? Are you going to be mentally sharper? Are you going to be physically healthier? Are you going to be spiritually deeper? The answer is no, unless you choose to be that way, because it isn't going to happen automatically. You're just not going to get healthier by accident in any category of your life. A lot of times we think we're waiting on God to change us. No, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. And it'll happen when you get intentional. Now, why don't we make these choices? Because internally, we don't think this way, but we know it instinctively. There is no growth in your life without change. And there is no change without loss. You got to let go of some old stuff. And there is no loss without pain. It's like being a trapeze artist in a circus. If you fly out on a trapeze bar and you're out there over the, 1,000 feet up from the ground or however many hundreds of feet it is, you've got to let go of one bar and grab onto the other to get to the other side. Now, if you think, I'm going to swing out and I'm going to grab onto the other bar without letting go of this one, what's going to happen? Stuck in the middle with you. And pretty soon you get tired and you let go and you're falling. Some of you are stuck in the middle right now because you haven't learned how to let go. That's a choice. And that's the second thing that God says you got to do. Look at this next verse, verse 22. He says, throw off, that means get rid of, let go, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, all those bad habits and patterns and the defects, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. All that stuff where you've been telling yourself it's okay, but it's not okay because it's really messing up your life. And he says, throw off that old nature. Now, we spent an entire message on this last week, talking about your old nature. And if you missed that message, you need to go back and listen to all three in this series that we've built on so far. Each of your parents gave you 23,000 chromosomes. And because your parents were imperfect, they gave you some of their imperfections. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the older you get, the more like your parents you get? Okay? And since we all came back from originally from Adam and Eve, then what's going to happen? It means from Adam and Eve, there has been a sinful tendency, a old nature, that in all of us, that we want to do what we're not supposed to do. And growing up, you're told, now don't touch that stove. It's hot. And what do you do? It's like you see a sign that says, wet paint, don't touch. What do you want to do? You know? And it's like when I was growing up, my mom would always say, now, Ricky, I don't want to hear a peep out of you. Every bone in my body wanted to go, peep. Okay, why? That's the old nature, the tendency to say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm my own boss. I'm my own God. And so we have, part of the defects come from you from three, part of your defects are biological, some of them are sociological, and some of them are theological. Some of them are nature and some of them are nurture, but some of them come from circumstances, some of them come from choices, and some of them come from your chromosomes. Doesn't really matter where they come from, you need to deal with it. Okay? I want you to write this down. Genetics explain my inclinations, but they don't excuse my sins. Genetics explain my inclinations, but they don't excuse my sins. Just because I have a natural inclination towards something doesn't mean I should do it and doesn't mean it's necessarily good. I can have all kinds of self-destructive inclinations. In fact, we all have those in our lives. For instance, I might be born with a natural inclination to get angry. Some people, it's real obvious, have a harder time with anger than others. They're just born that way. They come out of the womb chomping on a cigar saying, I dare you, you know? Okay? And some people are just predisposed to get angry. Other people aren't. You have fears and you got other problems. But let's say I've got a natural inclination to get angry. That doesn't excuse me to just go abuse everybody, verbally or physically. There's no excuse for that. Some people are born naturally motivated, and they're ready to take on the world from day one. And other people aren't born with a lot of motivation. And it's kind of like, let it happen. And I may be born with a natural inclination to not really do a whole lot, but that does not excuse me to do nothing with my life. And just be lazy. I may be born with a predisposition or a natural inclination to be addicted to things. I might have an addictive personality, and I tend to get addicted to television or food or drugs or alcohol or sex or pornography. Or I might have a natural inclination, an addictive personality. Some people do. But that does not excuse me to go act it out. Just because I have a tendency or a desire or an attraction or an affinity or a predisposition does not mean that I should act on it. Now, genetics explains my inclination. It does not excuse my acting out or my sins. Now, here's the good news, and we talked about it last week. Once you become a believer, you have a new power in you that is greater than those old tendencies. And that power is the Holy Spirit. You see, in changing the defects in your life, God has a part and you have a part. It's not all God and it's not all you. It's kind of like growing up physically. Growing up physically, there are some things you could do that would help you grow, like eat right, sleep right, exercise, but there are some things that are totally out of your control. No matter how much you eat, sleep, and exercise, you didn't get to choose how tall you're going to be. God chose that. You didn't choose your bone structure. And so part of your physical growth was God's responsibility, and part of your physical growth was your responsibility. The same is true with your spiritual growth. God has a part, and you have a part in your spiritual growth. Now notice this next verse. This explains it. Philippians chapter 2. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, I want you to circle the phrases work out and work in. This is the balance. There's a working out and there's a working in when you want to make changes in your life. The working out is your part and the working in is God's part. We are to work out what God is working in in our lives. Now, I want to explain this verse in detail because I don't want you to misunderstand it. Continue to work out your salvation. Notice it doesn't say continue to work for your salvation. It says work out, not for. Nowhere in the Bible are you told to work for your salvation. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot deserve your way into heaven. It is a gift. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace, God's gift, we are saved through faith. And even that is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so nobody can brag about it. In other words, you cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. The Bible says over and over, it is a free gift. But once you have received that gift that you did not earn, then you are to work out your salvation. Not work for, but work out. What does it mean to work out? Have you ever done a workout? Some of you obviously know. Okay. Have you ever done a, what do you do at a workout? When you work out, you go to a gym, and when you go to a gym, you don't go to invent muscle. You go to develop the muscle God already gave you. You cannot create a bicep out of nothing. But when you go and you work out in a gym, you are developing the muscle God gave you. And when you work out your salvation, you're not getting your salvation. You are developing, you're cultivating, you're understanding the salvation God gave you. Does that make sense? Work out does not mean work for. It means you develop what God has already given you. My wife, Kay, loves to do jigsaw puzzles. And she'll buy one of these 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and she'll come home, and about half the time she'll throw it out on the kitchen table, and it's just a jumble of mess. And then her job, and she enjoys doing this, is to work out the puzzle. Now, when you work out a puzzle, did you create it? No, you're just putting it together. She doesn't create the pieces of the puzzle. She's not the puzzle creator. Working out a puzzle means I'm taking all the pieces that were given to me by the creator of the puzzle, and I'm putting them together, and then when it's all done, you go, oh, look at that big picture. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what working out your salvation means. Many of you don't understand. Your life is like a jumble of puzzle pieces. And you got a pile of them. You go, I don't know what my life's supposed to look like. I have no idea what my life's supposed to look like. I just got this puzzle of pieces, and I got this piece and this piece and this piece. And you start putting them together. And when you get it all put together, by the end of your life, go, oh, that's the picture. That's the big picture. You don't see the big picture yet. Now, it helps in putting a puzzle together to have a little picture on the cover so you can see what it's supposed to look like, right? This will give you a picture of your life. And the more you read this book, the more you're going to understand the pieces of the puzzle and what your life is to look like, because it is to look like Jesus Christ in you. But you work it out by putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Now, notice it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Am I supposed to be afraid of God? Am I supposed to be trembling at God? I'm a believer. No, of course not. He's not saying be afraid of God, but being afraid that you'll miss God's best. Be afraid that you don't take the time to put the puzzle together. Be afraid and tremble that you'd waste your life, that you could go your entire life and never know God's purpose. He's saying, you need to take this serious. You need to take your life serious because you've only got one life. And it's going to have eternal implications whether you put the puzzle together or not. And if you're so busy working on making an income and working on being popular and working on, and you're not working out your life, and you're not dealing with these defects, and you're not growing spiritually, you're missing the point. You need to be working out and be afraid, tremble, that you might go through life and waste your life. That's what you ought to be afraid of. That you didn't ever get to the point of understanding, why am I here? What on earth am I here for? Now it says, while you're doing the workout, it says, God is working in you. You know that word, phrase, working in? Do you know what it is in Greek? It's the word energos. It's the word we get energy from. Have you ever seen the advertisement with the Energos bunny? the energizer bunny. That's what this word comes from. It says God gives you the energy, the energos. He works in. He's putting energy in your life to change the things you could never change. And notice what he says. It is God who works in you. He's given you the energy to will and to act. Circle that on your outline. To will and to act. God gives you two kinds of energy. The desire and the power. To will and to act. The answer to changing your life is not willpower. It's God giving you the will and the power. The change in your life is not going to come from, I'm just going to force myself to be happy. Ain't going to happen. It's not willpower. It's a matter of God giving you the will and the power to do it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today. But first, Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box, and it's beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's Word in your mind so you can remember it. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. Imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week. That's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series, The Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and the scripture box? It makes a great gift, too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Go to PastorRick.com to get this powerful resource, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 today. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.